Welcome to the Haney Biz Project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Companies. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. Coming to you from the Marquee Media Studio, here's Mark Haney.
Yes, this is the Haney Biz Project, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in our hometown of Sacramento. We are entrepreneurs, helping entrepreneurs, one entrepreneur at a time, one conversation at a time, and that conversation, it always begins with one simple question. Are you hanging or are you banging? And I am here with my main man, Marcus Haney, the Marine Entrepreneur. Hanging or banging today, buddy?
I am banging. Fired up to be here. New time, new opportunity. Excited to hear from our guests today.
Well, banging is when we are at our very best, at our very best opportunity. So now, what does that look like for you, the Marine, but now entrepreneur?
Well, it's getting to hang out with you, right? Getting to hear the stories of our local entrepreneurs here in Sacramento and maybe take away a little golden nugget.
There's always a golden nugget on this show because we tell stories. These stories are meant to inspire, educate, and connect us because as entrepreneurs, so often we feel alone.
No doubt.
When you listen to the Haney Biz Project, when you hear the stories of the most successful entrepreneurs, you see yourself in those stories because it's not always easy, but we find a way to battle, to figure out a way to persevere and ultimately overcome. But, you know, every week we sort of ask this question in our newsletter, The Revolution. This week's question is it better to under-promise and over-deliver, or is it better to over-promise and then make sure you deliver on top of that? Marcus, thoughts?
Yeah, I never understood the premise of under-promising your customer anything. I don't think that ever really shocks them, as you would say, right? You gotta show up, you gotta shock, and then you gotta systematize. And under-promising is, I don't think, gonna get you anywhere within their sector of wanting to buy something from you.
Well, I have spent a lot of time in my life under-promising and underselling. And you're right, Marcus. I don't think that's the time in my life where my business has taken off, right? When I've been downplaying it and stayed a little humble. But when I've had the courage to talk about what we're the best at, what my team is the best at. And sometimes we don't think about that. You know, what in the world are we the best at, right? What can we be the best in the world at? You're an industrial supply guy, right? So there's got to be, as a Marine, you were the best in the world at killing people and breaking things, right? But now what about in industrial supply?
Yeah, well, you know, my supply chain is really state of the art and have the ability to get anything in the country to you next day from, you know, a DeWalt drill to, you know, a nitrile glove type of thing. So
yeah.
I think my supply chain and my ability to compete with the big guys while staying lean and utilizing technology to leverage my business model and, you know, reaching all my customers within a, you know, a comprehensive group of marketing strategies. And I think that that's really my advantage.
Haney Industrial Supply, Marcus, you're getting that going. But you think about the companies that have been so successful beyond what a lot of us even imagine. You think about Apple, right? How do they say we're the best? You know, Steve Jobs talked about think differently. He was a great communicator. And, you know, if you go into the Apple store, there's these clerks that help you out. And they're called geniuses, right? They figured out a way to imply how great they are because they are good. They're good with the phones. They know how to help us out. Disneyland, right? The happiest place on earth. It is a great place.
Right.
And they can, with passion and with conviction, they can say, hey, we are the happiest place on earth. But, you know, it doesn't always, sometimes we stay a little too humble. And, you know, it's hard to escape from obscurity when we are downplaying our gifts and what we're great at. So today, when we think about this, you know, sharing our story, right, sharing our message, we have people coming up on the show today that are great at sharing their message, right? And so often when we're sharing our message, talking about how great we are, we can do that without bragging, right? It's not bragging if it's true. And I don't think it's bragging if somebody else is helping you tell that story.
Absolutely.
Right? If you get a testimonial from one of your clients about how great you are, you don't have to brag, right?
Or you allow your customer to be the hero at the end of the day, right?
Yes. If your customer, right, if you're telling a story about your customer, right, your customer being the hero, how he started off and he had this big problem, he couldn't figure out how to use his iPhone, and all of a sudden he stumbled into the mall and he ran into this genius, and at the end of the day he walked out using his iPhone. He was able to sell hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of supplies with his iPhone working, right? The story, really, if I'm Apple, right, is about Marcus Haney and his industrial industrial supply company, right. but really it was the genius that helped him along the way. So that's what we try to do here at Haney Biz. Hopefully we get the message out, and it makes me think about my hero here at Haney Biz, beyond you, Marcus, Marquee Media, right?
Oh, yeah.
Marquee Media, the alliance that we have with Marquee Media is incredible. We're in the Marquee Media studios, and it seems like every day these days, people are recognizing me, right? We are a radio show. How do people recognize me as I'm walking down the street? The other day, I was pulling out of the gas station, and this lady's kind of looking over at me. She looks pretty hot, right? So I'm like, oh, okay. She comes over, she drives up alongside me.
We're in the Porsche?
As we're pulling out, I'm in the Porsche, yeah.
All right, that baby.
She pulls up alongside me. She's kind of making some gestures with her hand. I'm like, ah, Marquee Media, thank you very much. She recognizes me. I pulled into the parking lot later, and I realized my gas cap was off.
Oh.
So yeah, thank you, Marquee Media. I appreciate it. A little false alarm. I thought I got recognized through you. Later in the show, we're going to meet Tim Anderson, co-founder and president of Anderson's Dry Cleaning Services. We're going to also meet John Simpson, the co-founder and CEO of Patrick Corporation. But coming up after the break, we will meet Lori Prozio, the president and CEO of Prozio Communications. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Comstocks Magazine. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Now, back to Marquee Media Studio and the Haney Biz Project with your host, Mark Haney.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Comstocks Magazine and California Backyard. I'm Mark Haney, and today I have the privilege of being joined by Lori Prozio, the CEO, the president, the owner of Prozio Communications. How you doing, Lori?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. We had you scheduled to come back, come on the show a few weeks back. That happened to be the day that my mom passed away, and you guys were so gracious in rescheduling for today. I appreciate it. I want to share the Lori Prozio story. Talk to me about your entrepreneurial journey.
Well, wow. It started almost exactly 5 years ago. Actually, it was 5 years ago this last Tuesday. My team and I celebrated last Friday our 5-year anniversary.
Nice.
I'd been working in the PR and marketing industry for the better part of my career in Sacramento the last 20 years or so. I guess I'm dating myself saying that. But
that's impossible, Lori.
Right. You know, after working for a couple of different agencies and doing kind of a stint in the tech corporate side of things, I just decided it was time to get out there and try it on my own. And so 5 years ago, I, with 3-year-old twins in tow, mind you, I decided it was the perfect time for me to go out and start my own business. And I launched Prozio Communications in June of 2013, and we're now 5 years in, and we have 15 full-time folks working for
us. Thank on that you. Success. You're based out of the South Placer area.
Roseville. Mm-hmm.
You're based out of Roseville, and I'm thinking back to when you first launched the business. Did you take your children to work, or did you keep them out? How did that work?
No, I mean, before I started my own company, I was working for another company, so I had a great opportunity to be able to bring my kids to work with me. I took a short amount of time off, and then they came to work with me, and they were kind of the little office mascots for a short period of time.
I love it.
But when I started my own company, we did it kind of the same story as a lot of regular entrepreneurs, where you're at the dining room table kind of sorting out, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? My first two staff came on board within a couple of months, and they'll tell the story that I had 2 3-year-olds running around the house, banging on the piano, playing. Meanwhile, you know, dogs napping on the floor, and all of us sitting at the table the way we do with a glass of wine, figuring out how we were going to do this thing and grow it to where we are today.
Well, what was the feeling like when you first started? Were you had this big dream, I'm assuming, and was it easy? Was it scary? How did it feel?
You know, it was not easy. It was a little scary, but I was really fortunate that because I'd worked in this industry for such a long time, I had a lot of relationships. I had a lot of connections, a lot of experience in this field. And so I probably didn't start off the way a lot of people do, where you spend years and years thinking this is something that I want to do. I had actually been kind of on a different path of working for someone else and thinking that that was kind of the long-term plan. And maybe a similar story to some entrepreneurs out there where you kind of realize maybe this isn't the right thing for me. Maybe this isn't the path that I'm supposed to be on. You know, it was a short amount of time that it occurred to me, I think I should probably do something else. And so I didn't, you know, maybe have that kind of traditional start of the writing down the business plan and thinking through exactly how this was going to look. I just knew that what I was doing in that moment wasn't right for me anymore. And I was really fortunate that I had a lot of people that were behind me saying, this is what you need to do. This is the time. time, go out there and get it and do it. And so I, you know, it was scary. Yeah, for sure. I mean, anytime you're leaving the comfort of a paycheck and the comfort of, you know, somebody else having kind of that responsibility for you, you know, that's nerve wracking. But, you know, I had a lot of support from family and friends and colleagues. And, you know, it was hard to turn that little voice off in my head that said, this is the way that you're supposed to be doing this now.
Well, you're quick to comment on the people that have helped you, which is, I mean, I see that in entrepreneurship all the time. Let's brag about Prozeo Communications a little bit. What's so great about Prozeo?
So I run a full service public relations and marketing firm. We have done a lot of really great work for some really interesting organizations. One of the things that I think we're the most proud of is that we've been involved in some really major behavior changing campaigns over the course of many years, but certainly as Prozeo Communications, we've done a lot of kind of life changing type things. We handle all of the communication services for the state of California for all their traffic safety messages. So we've been working on distracted driving and anti-DUI efforts and pedestrian safety efforts. And so one of the kind of mantras of our office is that we work on projects that are really meaningful to us and that also change people's lives. And so that was kind of the core of our business, was getting out there and working on things that we could actually help people save lives and work on projects that were really meaningful.
Yeah, incredible. So thinking about the question of the day about under-promising and over-delivering, you know, I have this thought that it's hard to grow your business if you're always under-promising. What camp are you in on that?
I don't think I'm in either one of those camps. I mean, I certainly wouldn't say that we're in the practice of under-promising and over-delivering. I think we're probably somewhere in the middle. We want to set really good expectations with clients so that they have an understanding of what it is that we can do for them. And then, so I wouldn't say that's an under-promise, but I think we also have kind of as a general rule among all of us, and that's one thing I can say for everyone that works on my team, is that we've all got a really strong drive to do our absolute best all the time and to exceed expectations. So, you know, we match our expectations with our clients when we start, but we always try to go a step above and beyond that to make sure that we're giving them, you know, the absolute best that we have.
So you're dealing with the clients in the government and it sounds like larger corporations. Do you do business in the small business realm, or is it larger entities only?
No, I'm on the board of directors for the Roseville Area Chamber of Commerce. So I have a lot of interaction with a lot of small businesses. We do work for a variety of different types of organizations. So we've done a lot of work with government agencies, but we also work with small and mid-to-size businesses. And we've also done some work with some really big brands. We've had a long-term relationship with 7-Eleven. We work with International Sportsman's Warehouse, Expo. So, it really depends on the needs of the client. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the way that we choose to work with people is we look and see, are these people that have something, a cause or a product or a service that they offer that we believe in? And are they fun people? Are they people that we'd actually want to work with? Went out and started my own company. One of the things I said was, anybody that I work with has to be somebody that I'd want to invite into my home, that I'd want to share a beer with or a glass of wine with. And if that match isn't there, then it's not a good fit for us.
So if they don't drink, you basically don't want to.
Well, there is that.
Okay. So just thinking, I always ask the question, we try to keep it lighthearted, right? Are you hanging or are you banging? Banging's when we're at our very best opportunity. And as a owner and CEO of a 15-person successful marketing company, I mean, what are you doing when you're at your very best? Like, what's your thing?
Oh, gosh. I think I go through this phase of trying to figure out what I'm not doing on a regular basis. Okay. I think, right, like most entrepreneurs, you're a CEO of a business, you're kind of got your hands in everything. I think for me, it's always kind of that critical thinking and looking at how can we make things better for a client? How can we build on something that they've already started? Or, you know, taking a look at the big picture. That's where I think I always kind of find myself at the best of my abilities, is looking at what do we do that's next? How do we get past this point and get them or even our own company to that next level?
Mm-hmm. We talk about sharing stories. You're an expert in that realm and helping get the message out. Talk to us about what small businesses can do, medium-sized businesses. Those are the majority of our listeners. What can we do? What should we be thinking in terms of telling our story and getting our message out?
Well, I think it's important to, you know, you were talking about, is it bragging if it's true? I mean, I think we are our own best storytellers and identifying opportunities to be able to share our experiences, whether that's through some sort of nonprofit organization that you can work on behalf of. I always highly recommend to new businesses and people that are just getting started to join your local chamber. It's an excellent way to be able to meet people, to network, to get involved in philanthropic efforts. But really, I think at the end of the day, it becomes about realizing the relationships that you have and finding the best ways to be able to utilize those. You have people and connections and contacts that, you know, are willing to get behind you and support you, and really trying to identify those folks and, you know, support them along the way as well. And everybody grows together.
Thank you, Lori. Words of wisdom from Lori Prozio, Prozio Communications, sharing her story of winning and helping us small business people along the way to build our dreams as well. Coming up after the break, we will meet John Simpson, the co-founder, CEO of Patrick Corporation. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Audi Rockland and DCA Capital. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Marquee Media Studio with Mark Haney, igniting the entrepreneurial revolution with the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Hub International and Legion ABS. I'm Mark Haney, and I'm here with John Simpson, the co-founder and CEO of Patra Corporation. I called it Patra. Yeah. I'm sorry about that. And I mispronounced your name. How do you mispronounce Simpson? My gosh. But I want to thank you for joining me today, John.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Great to have you here. I want to learn about you personally, but I also want to know about your entrepreneurial career. Where should we start off? Who is John Simpson?
You know, I was thinking about that this morning. I was taking my two-hour walk. It's kind of my mental time that I get to think. And, you know, there's experiences in your life that really define who you are as a person. And I think there's probably two main experiences that happened in my career that's defined my life. First off, I started off with an internship for Kay Jewelers, of all places, when I was 17 years old. Got to go into the corporate headquarters, and CEO sends me down to the treasurer's office, and he throws me a manual of D-Base. Do you remember that back in the day?
Yeah.
D-Base, of all things. PCs were just on the market, and he says, write me a check reconciliation program. I'm 17 years old.
I went, whoa.
Well, so, first off, write a program? What's check reconciliation?
Yeah.
And he goes, just go to my cash controller. She'll explain it to you, and you work on it for the next 6 weeks. And I did that. I got it done, and the accountant people came up to me and said, do you want a job here afterwards? For the next 7 years, I worked for Kay Jewelers, going through every department of their company, learning every division, inventory, sales, security, credit, HR, payroll, you name it. I was there taking programs off the mainframe onto the PCs.
Okay.
So I got to really learn how a business runs from the start, because it's not about what you want to do, what industry you want to be in. It's how to run a business.
Well, luckily you didn't get stuck in the accounting department,
right?
You got to get out and see what was happening.
I got to go to sales meetings and meet district managers and go to parties. It was quite an experience. They gave me a computer through college, and I worked there after college. I got to go work with a CEO selling $100 million junk bonds in New York and Boston, relocating their corporate headquarters. I was just doing all kinds of things. So that was the first experience. And the second experience was when I started CyberBills later on. You saw that in my career. Mm-hmm. We were 2 weeks away from filing to go public. Dot-com crash happened. You know, but we had just raised $30 million. No problem. We'll just keep going along. A year later, we're running out of money fast. And, you know, there's a time when you really get your character checked and your integrity checked. And I was called in, I won't say who it was, by a national bank. And they basically said, we want you to declare bankruptcy. We'll keep you in as a CEO and we'll buy your company.
Wow.
And that would have screwed all the investors, employees, vendors. And I didn't even hesitate. And I said, no, not going to do it. We ended up selling the company a little while longer to Metavante, a company out of the Midwest, big banking company. And it really taught me who I was and the kind of person I am, about how much I care about my employees.
Yeah. And nobody can predict what happened. I felt it in 2008, what you felt in the early 2000s. Nobody can predict that.
That's
as
right.
Entrepreneurs, you...
It was going crazy. We had just raised $30 million.
Wow.
It was, you know, I was living the dream right then.
So that toughened you up, obviously.
That's right.
You had a successful exit, which is not always easy. Most people haven't had either one of those two types of experiences, where you're in something like Kay Jewelers at the base of the company, and then to take a company all the way to almost going public. Most people have never done that kind of stuff before. But now, how has that transitioned your career? Now you've got something in Patra Corporation that is going gangbusters.
Yeah, it's incredible. And it was interesting you're asking, and I'm going to jump right to it. You know, is it better to shout from the rooftops or go the humble route? And obviously, when we started Cyberbills, we were shouting from the rooftops. We were raising all the money. We had the VCs, GE Capital, and we were out there competing and doing all the marketing, and we got our competition, and it's buying advertising space and doing the ads and spending $2 million a month was our burn. That was shouting from the rooftops. And I don't think that was the best approach.
Okay.
Because it didn't really teach our people that what we were doing was the right thing. We were just out there saying we were doing something. We hadn't even really built this company yet, but we were saying we were greater than we really were at that point. So we didn't have a foundation to fall back on at that point in time. So when I got into this space, and I fell into this space, I didn't know anything about insurance. I still don't know anything about insurance, but I've learned a lot about the insurance industry. And when we got in, I just basically stayed under the radar. We started with four people over in India, myself here in the US, doing a little bit of work for one insurance company. And then we got a second, and then we got a third. And I wasn't out there bragging about it. I was just learning and building the infrastructure and the chassis, if you will, for what I knew was going to come down the line and just take the patients. And I think it depends on the industry you're with, the types of investors you're dealing with, about that approach that you need to take. Mm-hmm. In the insurance industry, it's about stability. And we really needed to make certain we showed them that we were a stable company. And we had to do that through gaining experience and training people in India and the U.S. We now have 2,500 employees in India. We've got 230 people working out of their home around the U.S., 37 states, all different kinds of communities. And we did that through just staying under the radar, getting the best customers, the biggest insurance companies to believe in us. And now we're coming out from the underneath and starting to shout about how great we are as a company because we can support it.
Yeah.
And if anybody that comes to us, we now have the scalability to really grow fast.
Well, what do you do for insurance companies that's so helpful that you want to shout from the rooftops about?
Well, you know, the industry is going through a lot of change right now. Just like financial services brought in fintech.
Yes.
You've heard that. Now they're talking about insurtech in the industry right now. And so the insurance industry is going through a lot of changes. But on top of it, people are leaving the industry in droves, not because they want to, but because they're retiring out and new people aren't coming in.
Young people aren't dreaming about going and being in insurance.
No, it's not really a big topic. They all want to be in social media and the insurance, and with technology changing. So people are leaving, and yet we've provided a nice solution for them to find resources, automation, technology, people around the globe to solve their problems. And we, like I said, we've built that chassis and that system, and we have a recruiting engine, and we've provided a whole new way for people that are in the insurance industry to have a better work-life balance. So they get to work from their homes anywhere they are in the country or the world for that matter, providing services to some of the biggest insurance companies out there. So that's number one. And number two, we're working on developing a whole new way to train a new generation of people interested in the insurance industry. We're creating local academies, training academies, outside military bases around the country so we can train spouses on the insurance industry. And then when they get relocated with their spouse in the military, wherever they go, they can take that job with them and work from their homes. It's really an amazing story.
Well, let's dive into the outsourcing piece. I don't know if that's the best way to frame your business, but you have these 2,500 employees and businesses growing, and you've got these human systems that go in and help the insurance company.
Sure.
Is that right?
Yes.
It's an outsourced kind of product.
It's outsourced, but it's about their process. It's not just, hey, I'm going to go do this task all the time. It's the process from when the lead comes into the insurance company, we help them place the business with the proper carrier because we have licensed insurance people, all the way through servicing, doing the renewal. So all the activities throughout the whole process, we have people there and technology to help them do it faster, better, and cheaper than the way they were doing it.
Yeah. So what led to the support for the military and the spouses and the people that providing jobs for them?
I've always had a soft heart in the military. My father was in the military, served in the Navy, then was in the Navy Department. So we didn't relocate around the country, but I grew up as a military family, so to speak. Always had a soft spot for that. And so I was looking at the wounded warriors, veterans, trying to help them get into this industry, thinking, what a great job. They can work from homes. We're not quite there yet because we need a little bit larger stability base. And my HR guy said, what about the spouses of the military? And I just went, that's it. Perfect solution. So we started with in Fallon, Nevada, where Top Gun is right now. We've got an office there. We've just opened an office in Clarksville, Tennessee. We're doing that. And we're looking at other bases now across the country where to start that. So it's a way to help the military, but it's also a way to regenerate a whole new generation of insurance professionals.
You bet. Well, what about the parent? My son was in the Marines. Do you ever help out the parents of the military? You ever do anything for us?
Well, you know, that's right. Well, actually, believe it or not, we did start a charity 2 years ago called Pot Your Proud, and that's focused more towards the children of the active military. Yeah. So because we hear about, again, the veterans and the wounded, and that's all great. Really want to support that. But the kids are also left out there with working for families that just don't make a lot of money. So how can we help them? So that we're really focusing on that as well. So we believe in, you know, employees and our customers, communities, and the industry as our kind of four pillars.
Incredible. That. Incredible generosity. I love that you're giving back to a cause that's so important to me as well. Just thinking about how to help Sacramento's small business community, right? That's what this show is about, sharing the stories. You've shared a real success story here. What do you have 2,500 employees. Most of us dream about having a business with 2,500 team members. Right. That's incredible. Advice to us as we think about how to grow that business and how to deal in that world of 2,500 employees.
It's about the people. I've heard this every entrepreneur that sits down with you, and Lori was even saying, it's about the people that you surround yourself with. And I believe that, you know, integrity and honesty are number one. And I know Uber's using this phrase now, do the right thing, but I've been saying that to my people for years, is do the right thing. And if you do that, it'll come around. It's easy to take the shortcut path and do the wrong thing and get rich fast, but that comes back to haunt you. Yeah. And I've seen it over and over again. Do the right thing by your vendors. Do the right thing by your employees. And you'll have that trust and that loyalty from them for years. I have employees that come back to me that used to work with me at previous companies and come back, leave multi-billion-dollar companies to come work for me because they know that I'm going to treat them fair always and forever.
Sometimes it's so simple. Just do the right thing. What goes around comes around. Thank you for, I think, helping us understand this better. And I think you're doing the right thing for sure with the military and helping us small business guys as well, John. So thank you for coming on the show today and sharing your thoughts.
Thank you, Mark.
You bet. When we return, I will be joined by Tim Anderson, the co-founder and president of Anderson's Dry Cleaning Delivery. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Chicago Fire and Apex Appraisal Services. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Now, back to the Haney Biz Project with investorpreneur Mark Haney, coming to you from the Marquee Media Studio.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of DSA Technologies and California Growth Advisors. And today, I have the privilege of being joined by the most humble, down-to-earth entrepreneur. He's the co-founder and president of Anderson's Dry Cleaning. I'm here with Tim Anderson. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for that introduction.
Such a nice guy. When I first met you, I fell in love, actually. I'm like, this guy is a guy that I would want to be hanging out with. We finally got you on the show. We're hanging together today. Talk to us about your business. Talk to us about your entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, well, first off, I got to tell you, Mark, I've been to your building now, I think, like five or six times.
Yeah.
And this place has like an entrepreneurial spirit that's just different than any place I've ever been before. So I encourage all the entrepreneurs out there to come by and at least do a visit.
Well, John has made it pretty clear. You got to put the right people around you, and so did Lori. And that's one thing I'm good at, is throwing a party that people love to come to. No other talent, but I can throw a party.
Yeah, this is a fun place. I recommend people hang out over here. So.
Awesome. All right, let's talk about you. I want to talk about me some other time. Let's talk about you right now.
Well, you know, I was born and raised in Sacramento, and just like a lot of the people here, I love the city. So I did the corporate thing, moved around a lot, but I knew that I wanted to raise my family in Sacramento. So we lived in Portland, Oregon. We lived in Utah. We lived in Southern California. And then about 10 years ago, we moved back and we're staying for good.
Yeah. Well, you grew up here. You were a great baseball player, played at Sac City.
Yeah.
So you're an athlete. How does that transition into being an entrepreneur?
You know, it's you just take so many lessons from athletics. And I know, listening to all your guests that you've had, everybody kind of says the same thing, but it's so true. In fact, one of my coaches, Jerry Weinstein, a great coach, he mentioned all the time when we'd come to practice, he goes, if you're not early, you're late.
Wow.
So that's why I slept in your parking lot last night. So I couldn't let my coach down.
Go Jerry.
But yeah, I to this day, I go back to those situations and, And some of those things, like you said, running your sprints on your last show, those just stick with you. I take that into my business every day.
Well, tell us about Anderson's Dry Cleaning. You're not an ordinary dry cleaning company.
No, I really, you know, I feel we're like a customer service company that just happens to do dry cleaning. Okay. I think, like your previous guest, I didn't know that much about dry cleaning, but I felt like I could connect with people and I felt like I could sell the business. I thought the business model that we, I want to say we had a little foresight with all the delivery type stuff that's happening now. I believe that was kind of the thing of the future, that people were looking for convenience. And if we could provide that with a little extra customer service, I think we had a winner, and we've been able to do that.
So I am a customer, but I won't give away how it goes. So basically, you pick up the dry cleaning one day, and the next day, I'm wearing that same shirt again.
Yeah. So we're hustlers. We're grinding out there. So we basically find out where you live. We put you on the route. We come by in the morning and pick your stuff up. We get it to the plant. We clean it, and then we get it back to you. So it's kind of a unique service.
And you put it on my doorstep.
I
don't have to walk out to a mailbox. It's up there on my doorstep, and there's this green bag, right? It's so it's so obvious when you hang the bag out there. You know that I got to pick up there at Haney's place.
Exactly. And that was the goal all along, to make it something that people didn't have to worry about. All you got to do is put it down there on your front porch, and we take care of the rest. I mean, how many people say when they're driving in their car, oh, I got home and I forgot to pick up the dry cleaning? Well, you don't have to worry about that anymore with our service. So,
well, there's got to be like houses out there where you just, you know, the front door is super far away. You're like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get over here? You got a dog bark and all that kind of stuff. You don't want to get bit. Like, what? Give us a nightmare type story that's happened to you.
Oh my gosh. My wife and I were kind of, you know, like when we started this, we didn't have a whole lot of employees, so it was just her and I. And the dog situation came up. My wife was actually pregnant, and this big, giant dog bit her right in the stomach, believe it or not.
In the stomach?
Right in the stomach. Yeah, so we were like, oh my gosh.
Wow. This entrepreneurship thing is hard.
Yeah, so that story like really sticks. I mean, it's like we still talk about that to this day, and that was like 11 years ago that happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is she still? Does she ever go back out and do deliveries
She's
anymore?
She's got a little thing about dogs now.
So now
She's
you thought, got the yeah. You do some of that.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Pit bulls, we just ignore the house.
Yeah. Well, okay. So that thinking about building businesses, there's always challenges. Most people don't have to worry about fighting off dogs as while they're carrying a baby, but what else has happened in your journey that's been challenging, and how have you had to overcome those challenges?
Well, I was thinking about this when I was driving over. My wife and I made the brilliant decision to both quit our corporate America jobs, which paid well. We had nice benefits and all that kind of stuff. We decided to have a baby, or ended up being two because we had twins.
Okay. Oh, and somebody else with twins. Lori had twins
exactly.
too, huh?
And we picked the best year to do it, 2009. So right in the middle of the recession.
Yeah.
So we really had our backs were against the wall, and we had no choice, but we had to fight through it. Yeah. We weren't going to give up, and now we're starting to see the fruition. And
Well, that's a time where people we're not spending money, and I think your product lends itself to we'll call it the upper middle class, maybe even the affluent. And people were not spending money. I mean, how'd you battle?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things that definitely is going to probably fall off the plate when people are trying to save the pennies.
Yeah,
we did deal with that. One of the things about us being more in a higher end type of clientele, the expendable money is a little bit better in that situation. So, but they're not putting out as much stuff and things like that. So we felt that really, really hard.
Well, we're always asking on the show, when you're hanging, are you hanging or banging? What's hanging look like for Tim Anderson, and what's banging look like when you're at your very best?
Well, first off, I'm not really good at the hanging. I really need to work at that. I mean, if I'm sitting at home for like 10 minutes, I start twitching because I feel like I got to be doing something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm 50 years old now, and I still haven't really learned how to hang. And my wife tells me all the time, you just need to learn to relax, go on vacation. So
let's go to Cabo together.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm all in for that.
Okay.
And then bang. And I mean, I'm a real early riser because I find that early in the morning, there's not a whole lot going on. Not a lot of people are moving around. So you can kind kind of, you know, take your thoughts in.
Yeah.
But come about 9 o'clock, man, it's just crazy in my industry because people get home from trips and they need a pickup off schedule and something's wrong with the plant. So there's always something going on. And it's just like after that morning ends, it's like, you know.
You are go. It's banging all
it's
day
banging
long. It
all
may
day.
Be picking up a product or it may be supervising a team
yep.
that's washing the clothes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Thinking about advice to entrepreneurship, right? You built a team around you as well. You're very integrated into the business. Advice to entrepreneurs who are sort of trying to build that small business as well.
Yeah, I think if you believe, and I did believe in our business model, I think if you believe in your business model, you just have to stick with it. And one of the things that I didn't have a lot of when I first started was a little bit of patience. And the more that I've learned is if you know you have the right, you know, sauce and you're plugging away at it, you have to just kind of just keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. And eventually, you know, everything comes to fruition. So I think patience sometimes is something that isn't yeah. talked about. And you just, you know, if you think you got the right thing, just don't give up.
Stay with it. Yeah. Persevere, persistence. Thinking about the question of the day, right? So the revolution question was, is it better to under-promise and over-deliver or the opposite? Thoughts about messaging, especially out to the public?
Yeah. You know, I may take it a little bit overboard on this, but when we sign up a new customer, I try to make that initial connection and just let that person know that if they have anything that they have a problem with or things weren't right, just they can reach out to me directly. So I do give them my text number and my cell phone.
Wow.
So, yeah, sometimes that's not so great.
And when you get up early, so we can text you like at 6 in the morning?
Yeah,
what time can we start texting you?
I can get texts at 4 in the morning sometimes. Yeah, like, hey, I got the wrong shirt. I'm like, oh, God, there goes my sleep.
Oh,
but, yeah,
shoot.
So I don't know. I just think we're always trying to over-deliver. We really are. That's what I think kind of makes us special in what we do. We kind of make it a little bit more of a personal interaction as far as just my clothes comes in, they get clean, and they go out. I want them to know who I am and what we stand for. And let them know that I will always make it right if there's anything that happens that's, you know, not up to par.
Very cool. Well, I want to thank you, Tim, for what you do for me as a client, right? So I am a customer, and we here at Haney Biz Marketing have worked with you. You may
yes.
have even heard the Tim Anderson testimonial in between on the show at a time or two, and also looking forward to working with you as an investor in
yes.
helping grow your company. And I think there's a lot of things that we can do because when you invest into rock star entrepreneurs, I think anything is possible. And I think I look forward to growing Anderson Dry Cleaning along with you and your wife. So thank
you
very
much. We do as well. Thank you so much, Mark.
Yeah, you bet. When we come back, I will share my takeaways, bring back Marcus on. We'll have some closing thoughts and maybe even share a little bit of stories about finding our gift, finding our secret sauce, and whether to underpromise and overdeliver or go the other way. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Marquee Media Studio for Mark's takeaways from today's Haney Biz Project.
To whom much has given, much is expected. And, you know, Marcus, today we had people on the show that have these gifts of entrepreneurship. They're building businesses. And it makes me think about the parable of the talents is a timeless story that we get from the Bible. And it reminds us that each of us has gifts and we have a moral obligation, an ethical obligation to give the world those gifts, to share those gifts with others. And the story goes like this. There was this master, and he's getting ready to go on a long, extended journey, and he calls before him his three faithful servants. One servant was given 5 talents, and a talent was an amount of money. The second servant was given 2 talents, and the third servant was given 1 talent. And the master went on his journey and returned after many, many moons. And when he returned, he found that one of the servants had went and invested that money. The one with 5 talents, it had invested the 5 talents, put the talents to work for him, and turned those talents into 10 talents. And for that success, he said, "Well done, my faithful servant. You were successful over little, and I will now allow you to rule over many." And the second servant did the same thing. He took his 2 talents, he invested them, got those talents to work for him, and returned 4 talents to the master. And in exchange, he said, "Well done, my faithful faithful servant. You were successful over little, and now you will rule over many. But the third servant, he did something different. He had buried his talent into the ground for all this time, and it hadn't grown at all. He uncovered that talent, and he returned the single talent to the master when the master returned. And the master said, "You have been wicked and slothful. Give your talent to the man with 10 talents, and you're fired." Kind of an amazing story about how people who had taken a little bit of risk with their talents, put themselves out there, and they were put in a position to get more responsibility and win in other ways. And it makes me think about the risks that entrepreneurs take, we all have taken, where we put ourselves out there. It's okay to be great. It's okay to take a risk. It's okay to be different. And that looks different for all of us, I think, as entrepreneurs. Thinking back to my entrepreneurial career, right? We had the billion-dollar dream, right? It's okay to be great kind of mentality and an everything possible kind of brainstorming session. I got my management team together, and at this stage, we were at about $50 million in sales, and we were moving into this larger building, and we really needed to make sure that we took our business to that next level for, in our world, that was the billion-dollar dream. And the managers all got together, and we said, what do we have to do in order to be great? What do we have to do in order to reach our dreams? And we decided to adopt a full-speed attitude, right? As fast as you can do it correctly. And that attitude meant the leaders having to step up and lead by example. It also meant that we had to lead vocally. It's okay to be great. It meant running inside our office, right? We had a 70,000 square foot call center inside sales building, inside Salesforce. And it meant that as employees, as leaders, we needed to run when we crossed the sales floor, to run over to accounting or run to an office, right? We ran. We physically ran. And what happened was that was infectious. All our employees began to run, and we created a team with a full-speed attitude in terms of running. As managers, we decided also that when the phone rang, we were going to stand up and deliver our message, right? We were going to project with confidence and with volume. And when we're standing, it makes it so much easier to project and sound excited on the telephone, something so basic. But as we stood up, as we as managers began to stand up, guess what happened? Our team began to step up as well. It stand and deliver, running full speed, making calls 10 by 9 in the morning, 10 calls by 9 o'clock in the morning. As the managers began to adopt this full speed attitude, we found that the entire team began to do that. It's okay to be great. As crazy as these things are, running around offices, standing and deliver, it's what we do when we have to go out and do something important and change the trajectory of our career. Whether we're an athlete on the baseball field, as Tim mentioned today, you know, running sprints after practice, well, maybe we should stay after and run extra sprints, right? It's okay to run more sprints than the rest of the team and go out on your personal journey to be the best that you can be on the athletic field. As an employee, we look around and we think, how am I doing as compared to the rest of my teammates? It's okay to be the MVP. It's okay to work harder. It's okay to come in early and stay late and do all the extra things that make you the most valuable player on your team. And if you're on a team that doesn't have that mentality where the boss, you're going nowhere, well, maybe if you're going nowhere on that team, maybe you need to invest your time into another team, a team that's a little bit more driven, a team with the attitude of, we are going to change the world. And I think if you're a business owner, if you don't have that attitude, if you're not trying to build something where you're the best, if you don't have something that you're proud of that you can share with your teammates about how you're going to change the world, if you can't bring around the full speed attitude, the everything possible mentality, well, maybe you need to think about how you might make a change in your business. So just a little shout out to everybody out here who's helping me to change the entrepreneurial revolution into something that's a lot more real. It is possible if we bring out our gifts. So as I think about what can I do, what's my everything possible, if I'm giving everything I have to this entrepreneurial revolution, I have to bring in the right people. And I have built an incredible team, but it is about to get stronger. longer, I am bringing on Monique Brown. Monique Brown is as integrated in the entrepreneurial ecosystem here in Sacramento as anybody in Sacramento. So she is going to go arm in arm with me as we battle to help entrepreneurs in Sacramento. My team is about to get a heck of a lot stronger, and my team is already fantastic. So Sacramento, think about your talents. Ask yourself if you're using your God-given talents to the best of your ability. Are you tracking with where you need to be? Are you attacking that dream full speed? If you're not, you know, we need to do that. So I want to thank Lori Prozio, John Simpson, and Tim Anderson for sharing your stories, and to all those fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. To the 13 stripes, to the 50 stars, and to the one American parable always worth fighting for, yours. Never above you, never below you, always by your side.